You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, Labour's Michael Wood won the Mount Roskill election by a huge margin, gaining more than 6,000 votes over his nearest competitor. Wood caught up with me today and expressed not only his plans for parliamentary input, but also the grassroots representation of Mount Roskill that he plans to employ. First of all, congratulations. That was a clear win the other day in Mount Roskill. How do you feel about how the election went?
Thank you very much. Look, we feel incredibly positive about it. We felt pretty good going into the election day, but the result went hugely beyond our expectations. We won 67% of the vote, which is really topping out. And we got support from right across the community. And I guess to me, that's probably the most encouraging thing because, in progressive politics, the way that you win things is by building a coalition of people. And I think we quite effectively did that in Mount Roskill. And really next year, that's our job across the whole country. So there are some good learnings for us there, and it's a good shot in the arm at the end of the year, heading into an election year.
So the wide margin between you and your nearest competitor was a surprise, did come as something you didn't expect.
The size of the margin was well above where we thought we might end up at. As I say, we felt pretty positive. We'd been getting very good feedback on the ground. And we'd been working for 6 months. We'd door-knocked on 25,000 doors. We had a big operation, and we felt really good about the issues and the solutions that we'd put forward. But still, that sort of result is, it was a 7.5% swing on last time, which is really big. The result last time was 57%, so to exceed that, I think, was probably above anyone's expectations. We're not getting too big-headed about it. There's still lots and lots of work to do, and still a big task to win the general election next year. But it was a really good result, and I'm just delighted and want to really thank everyone who supported and voted for us in this election.
Yeah, and surely that's reassuring, even though this is a year-long term, it is reassuring to in terms of re-election when that general election does arrive, and that does extend to Labour. That is a positive for them. The by-election was obviously triggered by Phil Goff's election as Mayor of Auckland. Do you plan on kind of following his style? He was very much liked by the constituency, and he obviously had a long period. Would you take model anything off what he did while he was in the seat?
Certainly there are some real learnings from Phil. He's been someone I've been learning off for quite a few years in Mount Roskill. Yeah, what you found as you campaigned around the community is every day I would have people saying, yeah, Phil always came to our school galas, he was at our church events, he helped out my relative with such and such a thing 15 years ago, so we've always voted for him. He was just always accessible at the grassroots level in the community. And that's the big learning and something that I want to replicate, possibly overlaying that with some new methods. So we've had a pretty strong social media game through the campaign, younger people in particular, and engaging in quite a different and more immediate way. So it'll be picking up on that general theme of being really accessible, but also making sure that we're using all of the tools that we have to enable people to engage with us. My model of doing this is very much not, I don't believe that leadership in 2016 is about someone standing up and telling big speeches and telling everyone else what they think. It's about engaging. It's about working with other community leaders. And that's the kind of approach that I want to take.
Absolutely. And one thing about this by-election is that it did bring out that bitter rivalry between National and Labour. Do you believe this was a blow to the National Party to lose this seat?
Look, I think it's certainly a very poor result for National. And when you look at the by-election, in a funny sort of way, it was a bit like an old-fashioned FPP election. It was basically National versus Labour. There was even a social credit guy off to the side. And so we had 6 months of National and Labour debating the issues and our different solutions. And in a seat that National won by 2,000 votes on the party vote last time. So we started behind. And after 6 months of debating those core issues that National and Labour have, people made a very clear decision and sent a very clear message on Saturday night. So I think in Labour that gives us enormous heart that when we run campaigns that are well executed, well organised, and really focused on key issues. In this case, it was housing, community safety, and transport. And when we put up positive solutions, so not just whining, people really respond well to that. So I think that's a good template for further success next year.
And National seem to be trying to downplay this victory. Would you say that that's kind of a defence mechanism to try and shrug it off a little bit so that they don't lose any momentum?
Yeah, I suppose in a way, when you have a big loss, that's sort of an understandable thing, is to try and shrug it off. But, I mean, I've been involved in winning and losing campaigns over the years. And really, after you have had a big loss in a campaign, you perhaps should be a little bit more reflective on why that is. And just in this campaign on those big issues, we just sort of kept getting the National Party lines around stuff, just sort of brushing off the housing crisis. Oh, well, we're consenting this many houses this year, kind of ignoring the reality on the ground. And if I was actually a thoughtful person in the National Party, I would have alarm bells ringing a little bit that National Party message was so resoundingly rejected in the Mount Roskill by-election. Now, I'm not going on to say that automatically means Labor's got a grip on the election next year or anything. We've got a massive amount of work to do. But it's encouraging that our messages and solutions were well received, and are concerning for National that theirs were so rejected.
For you, what does Mount Roskill want, as someone who's been at, like you mentioned, that grassroots level? What's for Mount Roskill and the general Auckland area, what will be the focuses moving forward just over the next year?
Well, the number one issue just everywhere is housing. And so that whether it's around the total unaffordability for people being able to buy, I mean, the story I always relate on that is that I'm 36 now, and with my wife, not that long out of uni in the early 2000s, we could get a place here in Roskill South, a pretty basic place, 300k, and it's $1 million now for people. So it's just, they're just locked out. The rental situation is not much better. Social housing is a disaster zone. People living in carriages, cold, leaky, damp houses. So at every kind of level and part of society, housing is really biting. So that's a huge issue. There's the law and order and the community safety, which is increasingly a concern, and that's about kind of putting fences at the top of the cliff so that people don't get into crime, but also resourcing police properly at the community level. And then transport in Auckland. Everyone knows it's a complete mess. We've got these huge arterial roads through Mount Roskill, and if we don't bite the bullet and have a bit of vision and invest in proper mass transit, public transport options, it's going to get worse as our population grows. So we took the quite brave call of putting light rail out there, knowing that some people wouldn't like it, knowing that we'd get criticised because it was expensive. But we've got to show some leadership, because the reason we've got the transport mess we have now in Auckland is because 30, 40, 50 years ago, no one showed leadership. So I think we've got a really forward-looking progressive agenda for Auckland, and actually working with our partners in the Greens, I think we can paint a picture of an amazing, dynamic Auckland in the future if we get our priorities right. So I feel really positive about how we can go in Auckland.
What are your immediate plans as an MP? I mean, Parliament's about to break up for Christmas and the holidays, but do you have any ideas just within the electorate, anything that you plan on doing? Maybe not ground-moving policy stuff, but anything that you'll be jumping right into immediately?
Yep, so it's a busy 3 weeks before Christmas, so there's just a bit of reconnection with people. So, you know, I've been around for 6 months connecting with people and seeking support, and I think it's always good to go back to people and show that you weren't just there because you wanted their votes. They'll be going around the schools and community groups and other places just to say hello again and chat to people about how things are going. But they're very immediate specific thing. I had a campaign volunteer who was doing a lot of phone work for me, and she said, "Michael, if you get elected, there's something I want you to do before the end of the year." And she, I think she was born in the US, and in her community there was an organisation which collected up Christmas presents for kids who otherwise might miss out from lower socioeconomic households, and then distributed them in the community. And she said to me, "Michael, I want you to do that before Christmas." And so that's a little thing I'll be doing over the next couple of weeks, is putting a call out to the community if people can donate some presents for kids who might miss out otherwise, and then we'll get those distributed out to families in need in Mount Roskill. Now, the good thing about this role is there's the parliamentary side of it, and I'm enthusiastic and hungry for getting involved there, But as a local MP, you're meant to be there at the grassroots in the community. And, you know, people, we're supposedly in a very postmodern age where people are totally cynical and just out for themselves. I actually don't think that's true. People are still very much care about their local community and love their local community. And it's just kind of neat to now be able to play a really major role.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.